so many needs in our lives that he can supply and can handle all of those things for us. Out front at the table, there's a new magazine, Israel My Glory, and they are always interesting magazines. It's, of course, it's support of Israel. It is written by Jews for those of us that are not Jews. Give some historical things concerning the nation of Israel, and it's always very, very good. And so they're out there for your taking. Please do that and go through there. This is talking about the Holocaust that took place there during World War II that some people try to deny, but I don't know how you can deny the evidence of what took place during that terrible time of world history. This morning, if you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of John. John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6, we read of the story that is entitled The Feeding of the 5,000. And you read the Gospel of John, you'll find that in all the Gospels, you'll find that there are recorded in these pages many miraculous things that our Lord did for people. The Lord never did a miracle to bring attention to himself. He always did miracles to help somebody else. And here in this passage we'll read this morning, we find a great miracle that took place in the feeding of these many multitude of people. They are counted here, and we call it the feeding of the 5,000, but that's just the men. That doesn't count the ladies that were there. That doesn't count the children that were there. So the number of this particular miracle could be astronomical as far as the people that were involved. But the Lord gives us here through the Gospel of John the account of the feeding of the 5,000. And I want us to read it this morning. John chapter 6, verse number 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. He saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said, of course, the Lord said, to prove him, or to prove to Philip, for to show himself, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, and so the men sat down in numbers, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. And the disciples said, disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, and that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the barley loaves, and remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men that, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come unto the world." Notice verse 15, we'll end with that one. "And Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him king. And he departed again and again into a mountain himself alone." Here we have the account that John gives us. If you read the other Gospels, you'll find there's some other things that are mentioned concerning this particular event. And the last four weeks, I guess, when I first started, was able to come back and be able to speak at a decent voice, I began to had a message on where Jesus was needed, and just sort of has developed into other things and other places where the Lord was needed in the lives of people. I'm sure that we can all identify with the needs that folks have, because we are a needy people. That first message that I brought to you was the need of the woman at the well. And she was in serious trouble. She had many problems in her life. And the Lord said, "I must needs go through Samaria." He was needed there in her life because of the serious problem that she had. The next message we brought upon the storm that arose, and how that the Lord was needed in that storm. And we identify storms. All of us have had our storms. All of us have had our problems, our difficulties. We've had those times in our life that it seemed as though all hope was gone and nothing else could be done. And certainly we were tossed to and fro like a ship would be on the sea that was ravaged by a storm. And I think even in that particular message, I dealt with some of the problems that I faced with the surgery and the voice and all those things related to that. The next message was that Jesus was needed at the helm of the ship. He's needed to in the place of control. And we must have him in control of our life. He's not our co-pilot. He is our pilot. He's not the one sitting beside us waiting till he's needed. He should be and is that one that is the pilot of our ship and of our lives, that we follow his direction and his leadership that he gives us. And so we need him in our life. Last Sunday, we dealt with that prodigal son that left home and said, "Give me everything that's mine." And when he got to where he wanted to be, he found out he didn't need to be there. He didn't want to be there. And he had realized that even his father, at his father's house, there was hired servants that was living much better than he was. And so he said, "I'm going to go back home." And that young man needed the Lord there in the pig pen. He needed him there to realize how low that we can go, how far down we can go against God, but yet he's still there to help us. Praise the Lord, he's always there. This morning, when we read in this particular passage, we find that Jesus is needed when we are hungry. He's needed he's needed when we need substance in our life, when we cannot get it anywhere else. We have no ability. We cannot do these things for ourselves. And so we're going to look this morning that Jesus is needed for the hungry. In verse number 7 this morning, we find the disciples. The Lord has, he tells us here that he has gone to a mountain. He looks out and he sees a multitude that has followed him. Now, they were following him for the wrong reason. And if I wanted to make this a different style of message, I was looking at it. You could look at how that they were following him for the wrong reason. The end result of what the Lord did, he knew they was going to take him by force there in verse number 15, and they was going to make him king, but that wasn't why the Lord came. And so he removes himself from that. But as he looks down upon the crowd, we find in verse number 7, Philip pondering the impossible task that was ahead of them. Philip says in verse number 7, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. 200 penny worth, and that's an interesting statement. 200 penny worth is insufficient. Penny worth is also called a denario, and in this particular time frame of history, a penny worth was one day's wage. Wasn't very much. And so Philip says, if we even had 200 days worth of money, penny worth, it would not be sufficient. I'll tell you this morning, it doesn't matter what we have in our bank account. It doesn't matter what we have in our wallets and our purses. It is not sufficient to give us what we need in the work of the Lord. Only God can supply that. Only the Lord can do that. And so Philip looks across and he sees this mass of people. As the Lord is teaching his disciples, he says he went to a mountain. Now, always when you have a mountain, you have a valley. And the Lord is up on this mountain, doesn't tell how far he was, but he was able to look down and he saw a multitude of people. And Philip says, how are we going to take care of this crowd? How are we going to do this? How are we going to feed them 200 penny worth, 200 days of our living? Maybe that's what they had in their treasury. I don't know. 200 days, that's a little over 6 months. And 12 disciples. 6 months, 12 disciples. You do the math. About a month per disciple of their earnings. And Philip says, it is not sufficient. Well, we need to understand, we are not sufficient to do what we need in our life. We must have our Lord. And so this 200 penny worth is very insufficient. You know, we all of us, we're humans, and we tend to look upon the impossible task that's before us. We saw the video this morning of the work there in Cuernavaca, Mexico. I'm sure 30 years ago when they started that, they looked at the impossible task that was before them and how that they could not do all they wanted to do, maybe. But now, through the blessings of God, what God had given them became sufficient. We look on the impossible task, but in verse number 10, we find that the Lord says, make the men sit down. Make the crowd to sit down. God looks upon the impossibilities of our life, and he says, we're going to do something about that. Everything that's impossible with us, guess what? It's possible with God. For our scripture tells us that all things are possible with the Lord. Sitting down here, he tells them, now there was much grass in the place, and so they sat down and they set them down, and other passages of scripture tells us they sat in different companies of number. And when they got all, everybody sat down, there was 5,000 men. Not talking about the kids running around. We know there were kids there because one of them's given to us and we're told about him. And I'm sure he wasn't the only one there. But we find that he looks at them, he says, set them down. This is a place of the valley. This is a place that is level. This is a place that is accessible to everyone. And verse number 11, the Lord then takes that which had been provided, he blesses it, and he feeds them all. And so that which was impossible with 200 penny worth is possible when God's in it with much less than 200 penny worth, than 6 months worth of wages. And so they sit down, and the Lord gives thanks over that, and he gives it to the disciples. They hand it out, they eat. They are willing to serve the people, and when it's all said and done, they have much still to take up. Little is much. What's the song say? When God is in it. We may have our 200 penny worth, but that's little maybe to some folks. But God can take the little things and multiply and expand and can do so much more than we would ever think possible, because when God's in control, when He is there and we realize that we need Him, then He is there to supply every need that we have. I'll guarantee you this morning, I can say upon the authority of the Word of God, there's not a need in this building today that God cannot supply. What's your need? Brother Leonard, your need is probably different than mine. Kathy, your need is different. And I could call your names out this morning, and we all have personal needs in our life, but I'm so glad that I have a God in heaven. I'm glad I have a Savior, that He is sufficient for every need that I have. His abundant supply is available. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the hills. He owns the gold under the hills. He owns all the mineral rights that there are. And so He is sufficient. He can take care of us. These fellows that sat down, these men that were later counted, known to be 5,000, they maybe, some of them, many of them, I believe, had their families with them, because verse number 2 tells us why they were there. They were really there for the wrong reason, but they were there for this purpose. The great multitude followed Him because. Here's why they are there. They had a need. They had something that they realized by what they had observed that this man called Jesus could supply their need. And so verse 2 says there's a great multitude that followed Him there. And it says, because they saw His miracles which He did on them that were diseased. So they came maybe for the wrong reason, but boy, they got a different lesson before they left. And these men are now sitting down. These families are gathered there together, and it had to be a pretty good size valley. Had to be a pretty good size place, because I personally believe there's a possibility of being 10 or 12,000 people here. Maybe even more. That's husband, wife, one child is 15,000. So we find that Philip says, Lord, 6 months of wages could not feed this crowd, even with a little bit of food. It's not sufficient. Oh, but the Lord's going to come on the scene and prove that He is the all-sufficient one. He's the El Shaddai. He's the Almighty God. He's the one that can take our needs and supply them for us. He provided for those men's families. Those men didn't do it. God did. You and I this morning, we provide, we think, for our families. But it's really the Lord provides through us, and the Lord makes us able. The Lord makes us have a capability of earning wages and putting food on the table and paying for the car and paying for the house and paying for the goods and the entertainment and all that's involved in American life. God gives us the ability. He is sufficient to do that. I'm glad I can tell the world that He is able. You ought to look in your Bible sometime, look up reference, He is able, or God is able. You'll find over and over again, He is able to supply our every need. Can He do that today? Sure He can. Sure He can give us our needs. Do you have a health need? He can supply. Do you have a physical need? He can supply. And thank God this morning, a spiritual need, He can supply. He is sufficient. He is the one that's able to do all abundantly above more than we would ever think possible. He is able. I thank God that He is able. I try not to bring so much attention personally, but thank God He's able. I went to the doctor a week ago Monday, and he comes in sort of apprehensive. He said, well, how are you doing? And I was able to communicate with him in a different voice than he'd heard 6 weeks before. And he said, I'm sure glad. He said, I didn't want to tell you. He said, but I was worried. I said, I'm sure glad you didn't tell me, because I was super worried. He said, I do everything the same for everybody. He said, I don't know why that happened. And he said, I've done 4,900 of them. I don't know why either, but I know God's able. I can't sing yet, Stephen. Stephen told me one. He said, I want to hear you sing again. He said, I can hear you up there singing. I can't do it yet. But you know, if I can never sing another tune, to him be the glory, I can talk. He is sufficient. He is able to do that. And this crowd that had gathered, they'd followed the Lord. How far they'd followed, where they had come from, I don't know. The scripture doesn't say. But they had followed him because they had seen what Jesus did for some other people. And they had some needs that had to be met. And so this morning I want us to look at some things about this passage that we can see how the Lord is needed to feed the hungry. First of all, let's look in the Bible, verse number 8. And one of his disciples, Andrew, great study. A few years ago we did a study on all the disciples, Andrew. First thing is said about Andrew, he was known to be Peter's brother. Now, if you was kin to Peter, everybody knew you. Peter had a mouth. Peter had an attitude. Peter had a problem. And so first thing said about Andrew, oh, that's Peter's brother. Mike, you and Larry ever have that kind of problem? That's Larry's brother. That's Mike's brother. And so Andrew speaks up, and he says, there is a lad here. There's just a little boy here. There's a lad. And I want you to look at this unnamed lad. He has 5 loaves and 2 fish. I've read commentaries. I've read some different things. I read something this morning, and the fellow that wrote whatever the passage about it, he said the little boy was trying to sell his food. Now, the scripture doesn't say it, so I don't know where they come up with all this stuff. But I believe the little boy was prepared for the day. I don't think he's trying to sell anything. I think he just prepared. He knew. Maybe he had heard Jesus before. Like some of y'all have heard preachers before and say, man, 12 o'clock, 12:10. Pack a lunch. That little boy packed a lunch because he'd been there before, maybe. Again, I'm speculating. But here we find Andrew. He says, Lord, there's a little boy here. He's got 5 barley loaves and he's got 2 fish. And if 200 pennyworth is insufficient, my, this is not much. Now, barley, in this period of time, barley loaves was the food of a peasant. It's not wheat, it's barley. It's a cheaper, less expensive food. So this little boy, he didn't have much, but he had 5 loaves. Now, our Western culture, we think 5 loaves of bread, boom, about that long, about that high, each slice about that thick. Y'all hungry yet? In the last year and a half, I probably haven't eaten 4 pieces of bread. Sure does sound good. But this little boy has 5 little cakes, 5 little loaves, maybe what we'd call a muffin. He'd pack that, and he, I've heard about him. My mom, dad, they've told me about what Jesus done. I'm going to go along with them, and I'm going to take me something to eat. He's a normal kid. You folks, when we have had teenagers, there's no end to their need of food. You can go out and eat. Time you get home, they're ready to eat again. And so this little boy, he had his 5 loaves and 2 fish. He wasn't named. We'll never know his name till we get to heaven. He's long forgotten by the world, but he's recorded in the annals of God's word. So this little lad, he's unnamed, and guess what? He's not numbered either. He's not a man. 5,000 men. He's one of those little toe-headed boys that's running around kicking the dirt. He's one of those kids that was just there because mom and dad were there. He's not named. He's not numbered. Oh, but he's going to be used of the Lord because he had all that he had, and he's willing to give it. He's just a small lad. Doesn't tell us how old he was, but he was old enough to be smarter than some of the adults. He had food. Doesn't tell us anything about him, but it tells us that he had some preparation in his mind. Unnamed, unnumbered, but yet God could use him where he was. God can use me where I am. God can use you where you are. And it here to prove a point. This little boy that's forgotten, he's known of God. Yesterday, Brother Mike Decker sent a memorial that I read for the family. I'd like to hear Mike preach that message. I know it's a message. And he talked about where the Bible says Moses as a man of God. And I think he said there were 8 times in the Bible. I'm gonna do some work on this. He said there's 8 times in the Bible that men are called men of God. And he gave their names. And he was so true. 6 of them we know, Elijah, Elisha, Moses, others that we've heard their name. But there's 2 names there that they're not common at all. One of them I could not even pronounce. And Mike calls attention to that. But the point is, it doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter important or not important, known or unknown. God can use me. And if he can use me, he can use you. We don't have to be named. Problem in America today, we got too many preachers trying to make a name for themselves so that we'll remember them instead of who they're supposed to represent. Right. My name is not important, but his name is above every name. And this little lad, he said, I've got this. So Andrew sees this and he says, Lord, Philip says, we don't have the money. Andrew says, there's a lad. He got 5 loaves. He's brought his lunch. So we have the lad. We have the lunch. As I said a while ago, the lunch is the barley is the food for the poor. How long had these folks, how long had been this been going on? I don't know. These folks maybe had already been emptied of their physical need, and Jesus knew they had need, because the scripture says he said some of these statements to prove himself. Because what does it say? He knew what he was going to do. That 5,000, that 10,000, that 15,000, ever how many, they didn't take the Lord by surprise. He knew what he was going to do. And here's this little boy, this little lad, he's got a lunch. And Andrew says, he hath 5 barley loaves, 2 small fish, But what is that among so many? Again, the apostles, the disciples, they're looking at the impossible task. 200 pennyworth. They're out in a valley. They're out somewhere on a mountainside. Where are they going to go buy bread if they even had the money to do it? They didn't have the local Walmart. They didn't have a grocery store. They're out in the middle of nowhere. Where are we going to? We got 200 pennyworth. Where are we going to buy it? Andrew said, here's the food, but 5 loaves, 2 fishes, it couldn't feed me and you. Not unless the Lord got a hold of it. He sort of makes it different. And so here we have the lad. We have the lunch. This day, all these folks that had followed the Lord and had was there for the purpose of what had they had seen, they maybe came empty, but guess what? They're going to leave full on 5 loaves, 2 fish. They're going to leave with sufficient for the day. So you have the lad, you have the lunch. Now, we have the main character of the scripture. And by the way, he's the main character of the scripture, all of it. Not only that, he's the main character of eternity. He's the main character of heaven. I know we make statements, when I get to heaven, I'm going to go see this one, that. No, you're going to see the Lord. He's the main attraction. When we studied Revelation back months ago, we found out those 24 elders, they bow down and they give honor to the one on the throne. And those 24 elders, what do they represent? All of mankind that's saved. Now we have the Lord. He goes over to the Sea of Galilee. He goes to a mountain to pray. Verse 5, he lifts up his eyes. Verse number 10 says, make them to sit down. Verse number 11, he takes the loaves and the fish. He's the, verse 1, verse 3, verse 5, verse 10, verse 11, it is Jesus. There were hungry people there. They had a want. They had a need. There were worried disciples. I can just see that crowd of disciples because I could fit in there so good. I tried to be an optimist, but I find myself so many times being a pessimist. And I believe those disciples, as they saw these wanting people, they began to worry and they say, how are we going to do this? And there's this little anonymous boy wandering around. But then our sovereign Savior comes on the scene. I put down here, he's our wonderful Savior. He acted in a very human way. You know why? Because he was a man. I personally believe he was maybe hungry also. Somebody said, oh, Jesus didn't get hungry. He said to his disciples, go find food. He sent them away. Go find food. And while they're gone, he does a miracle, and they come back, and he said, I've got food that you don't know about. I'm not hungry anymore. And so maybe the Lord was a little hungry here too. It doesn't tell us, but he acted in a very human way of supplying the need to everyone that was there. Now, we don't have a great mass of people in here this morning, but he can supply your need. It may not be 5 loaves, 2 fish, but it might be a card in the mail tomorrow. I've had that happen. It might be someone that you meet, you shake hands with them, and you feel something in the palm of your hand. When you leave, you look at it, it's a $100 bill or a $20. God has ways and means of supplying our need. It may be someone that would just come and give you encouragement in your heart. No monetary value at all, but he can supply your need. the remarks and the kind expressions that people give us sometimes is worth more than all the money in the world. All because of the Lord. Just a kind word. The Lord knows how to do that. He speaks to our heart. He gave the supply of the need for the flesh. Our flesh has so many needs. Brother Gallagher preached for me one of the weeks. And I'll be honest, I got pretty down. I got to the point the one time that I said, well, I'm almost 65. I'll just go down here and get everything set and that'll be over. I told some people, I said, I can't even greet people at Walmart. I was down. And Brother Gallagher preached one service. And he made a statement. And it was such an encouragement to my heart. And he said from this pulpit, he said, Brother Richardson, we're with you. Doesn't matter how long it takes. If it's 6 months, it's 6 months. I thought, surely, I don't believe I can handle 6 months. At that time, it was about 2 months. I had different planes where I thought this will be okay to this point here. Jana, your brother-in-law had the same thing. He couldn't talk for 8 weeks. That became my next point. Maybe after 8 weeks I can talk. Didn't work. Brother Gower got up and said, doesn't matter if it's 6 months. He said, we're behind you. Only the Lord knows what that did to my heart. And I thank you, brother. He's not the only one. So many of you have been behind me and backed me up and said it's okay. I went down to the Social Security office, all intentions. I walk in, there's not a seat. I said, I'm not waiting for this. The Lord said, I'm teaching you some patience. Okay. So 2 weeks ago, praise the Lord, it began to have little flurries and people say, you're sounding better. Now it didn't to me. But about two and a half weeks ago, it sounded better. I'm so glad our Lord is sufficient. If I don't shut up, we'll have to pack a lunch. He's the Lord. Have the lad, the lunch, and the Lord. Real quickly, verse 12 and 13, we have the leftovers. Five loaves, two fish, 15,000 people, we'll say. And when they got finished, I had to pack up 12 baskets. The word basket there just means it's a container to carry. They pack up 12 baskets of fragments, leftovers. Somebody says, why in the world? Why would that happen? Why did they have that left over? Well, the Lord knew what was going to come up next. And he's got 12 disciples. If you read on in the passage, he's got 12 disciples. They're going to take a trip. And he gives them enough food to take care of them, not only that day, but the next days to follow. Our Lord is sufficient. You'll read in the next verses, you'll find in verse 15 through 21, the Lord withdraws himself where we read, and it's evening time, verse 16, and they go down to the sea, and they went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was dark by this time, it says, and then there arose a tempest. And the Lord knew what was going to take place, and he gives them 12 baskets of every one of those disciples that said, we can't, now they can. We don't have the money, we don't have the means, we don't have the way, but now they've got it supplied for the next day or so. That account that's given in John is also given to us. It's either Matthew or Mark. It tells us that that's the account where the Bible says Peter walked on the water. Peter's in the ship, and they see a form of, and Peter says, that's the Lord. And the Lord beckons him to come, and Peter gets out and he walks on the water. Somebody says, ah, but he fell. Guess what? Before the day's over, we may fall too. But I'll tell you what, I've never walked on water. Neither have you. I've skipped a few rocks on it, but they sink too. And so the Lord knew what the disciples was going to need in the future. God knows what I need tomorrow. God knows what you need next week. God knows what I need next month. God knows what we need next year. And he is sufficient for the need. The lad, the lunch, the Lord, the leftovers. Our God is able. Let's stand together this morning.